Episode number 41 of the Fight Name Picks podcast is brought to you by First Row Collectibles. Head on over to their website, firstrow.ta, and use promo code FNP for free shipping on your order today. We're also brought to you by Sisu Mouthguards, definitely the best boil and bite mouthguard I've ever had. Head on over to their website, it's siisuguard.com, and use the promo code FNP10 for 10% off your order today.
Ladies and gentlemen, recorded in Fredericton, New Brunswick, Canada, it's time for the Fight Night Picks podcast with your host, Craig Allen.
It is Friday, October 5th. We have the biggest UFC event of the year coming up on Saturday, UFC 229, Conor versus Khabib. Great guest today. Let's get into it. All right, and welcome to another episode of Fight Night Picks. I'm your host, Craig Allen, and in this episode, we're going to leave it to the pros. We're going to talk to Josh Emmett and Devin Powell. They're going to break down that Conor-Khabib matchup coming up on Saturday at UFC 229. We're also joined, like I said, by Flow Combat's Hunter Homestead, who had a great Proper 12 blind taste test. Came out. I suggest you watch it on YouTube. It got the approval from the man himself, Conor McGregor. He liked it. And we're also joined by returning guest Nolan King to break down some of the main card and some of the fights that we think are flying under the radar. So without further ado, let's hear it from the UFC pros themselves, Emmett and Powell, and see what they're thinking about this main event.
Biggest fight coming up this year. We've got Conor McGregor and Khabib Nurmagomedov. Who are you picking?
Oh, man, it's kind of tough just depending on how the fight goes. Like, obviously, it's a striker versus wrestler. So I feel if Conor can keep it standing, like everyone knows, and I could definitely see him knocking out Khabib. But if Khabib gets his hands on McGregor, it's going to be a bad night. So I think we'll know within the first few minutes how it's going to go.
Yeah. There's a pretty big fight in your division at UFC 229 between Conor and Khabib. Who do you have in that fight?
It's probably a cop-out, but I definitely say Khabib, but there's definitely a great chance Conor can win. I think that people probably are sleeping on Conor a little bit, but you know, he hung in there with Chad, who did the same kind of thing. You know, he handled those takedowns. He kind of weathered it a bit, and then still was able to put him away when he was super tired. And I'm sure he learned a lot from that fight. And it's been years, and he knows that that kind of fight was difficult for him. He has Burroughs over there. He's paying him probably $1 million to be there for his full fight camp. And Jordan Burroughs, you know, far better wrestler than Khabib will ever be. And that's, Khabib does it all, you know. And we look at those elite guys who just wrestle, like, that's his every single day. That's all he does. So Khabib's definitely going to be a handful. But Conor is sharp, and he's got that left. And I think we've seen Khabib hurt a little bit. I think Johnson hurt him a little, and he's going to come straight in. He might walk into something, you know, but I'll take Khabib. I'll say he manages to get his takedowns and kind of just wears him out. But yeah, that's a fight, man. I'm excited for it. As much as I didn't want to see Conor ever fight again after the whole bus thing, just because I just don't think somebody should be allowed to come back after doing something like that. But money talks, you know, and there's no way that they wouldn't let him fight again. If I did that, you know, you'd never see him fight again. But I'm not making the money, you know, so.
No, but you're
really appreciate Devin and Josh coming on the show earlier on this summer. And when they were on, I had a chance to ask them what they thought about this UFC 229 main event. I held it from then until now. So I'm really glad that those two guys could have joined me. And it's great to hear from current UFC fighters, especially Devin, who's in that division. He wants to compete for that lightweight title sometime in the future. So really appreciate those guys coming on. So before I get moving any further, I'd like to shout out my sponsors, First Row Collectibles and Sisu Mouthguards. So if you head on over to firstrow.ca, they're a collectibles memorabilia company out of Winnipeg, Manitoba, up here in Canada. So to our American listeners, keep in mind, you're going to be saving roughly 24-25% if you make an order with First Row. And if you head on over to their website right now, firstrow.ca, they've got plenty of hockey cards, baseball cards, old wrestling memorabilia. MMA memorabilia and signed pictures and whatnot. There's old issues of Sports Illustrated. There's so many great things over there. I had a conversation with the owner, Curtis Howson, quite a while ago, back in one of the first episodes. So if you head on over to First Row, you're going to find some neat items. Use the promo code FNP or receive free shipping on your order. And like I said, to all the American listeners out there, you're going to be saving roughly 25% on your order today. We're also brought to you by Sisu Mouth Guards. I've had a Sisu Mouth Guard for a number of years now. Reached out to them quite a while ago. And no word of a lie, the one game of hockey that I didn't wear my mouth guard, I lost one of my front teeth. It cost me a lot of time away from work. It cost me roughly $1,000 in, time spent away, but as well, getting a crown put on my front tooth. And it was just a pain. So make sure you wear your mouth guard. Head on over to their website. It's sisuguard.com. Use promo code FNP10 for 10% off your order. And from June of this year until June of next year, the sale of every Junior and Aero style yellow mouth guard will be 10% will be donated to Alex's Lemonade Stand Foundation, which is a national childhood cancer research center in the States. A foundation that, I'm definitely putting Fight Night Picks behind. It's really important. Everybody out there, I'm sure, has had a loved one go through, some sort of cancer treatment. So for me, it's really important. So make sure you head on over to sisuguard.com. You're buying a yellow mouth guard, Aero or Junior style. Use the promo code FNP10 for 10% off your order. And that again, it's Sisu Mouth Guards. And they're really thin. They're great boil and bite mouth guards. They have a $32,000 one-year dental warranty if you incur, any damage while you're wearing the mouth guard. It's definitely a great product for sure. So right now, let's get into the interview with Hunter Homestek. He joined me yesterday before the UFC 230 main event news came out. So we kind of speculated what we could see, but both of us really looking forward to UFC 229. He's going to be down there in Vegas covering the event for Flow Combat. So let's hear what Hunter has to say. Awesome, Hunter. Well, thanks so much for joining me. Before we get too far into it, I have to ask, how did you and Flow Combat kind of come into this Proper 12 blind taste test? How did that come about?
Well, when Connor released it, I knew that had to be on Flow Combat. There's nothing like drinking in Flow Combat. It's a match made in heaven. Ever from the beginning, we've been kind of the beer drinking rebellious crew of the MMA media grouping, I suppose you could say. So when Connor released a whiskey, I'm like, there's no better time than now for us to hop in and review this. And I was actually surprised because I ended up getting my one friend in the video. He filmed and edited it all. I was kind of surprised that nobody else jumped in and did it before us, to be honest with you. I was like, man, it's taken a while to set this up and get the video out. If somebody else is going to review it. But like, obviously people reviewed it, but no MMA media that I saw at least. So I was pretty stoked about that, man. It was just one of those things. Connor releases a whiskey, Connor McGregor, MMA, us, whiskey. It was a no-brainer to me. I'm like, I got to get my hands on this.
And I mean, you guys got the approval from the man himself on Twitter. Did you expect that?
I absolutely did not expect that, man. It was funny. I was actually at a little, there's a little quaint town about an hour away from here, and they do this, it's called Witches Night, and everybody kind of dresses up as a witch, and they do a costume contest, there's food, general parade, all that kind of stuff. And it's in this real small town. I literally had no cell service at all. And I was there when it happened. And when I got home, I checked Twitter and it was just blown up. People were texting me and Twitter was blown up. I'm like, oh man, I can't believe that happened. But obviously once it happened, we, retweeted, engaged with it, posted on our Instagram. We're definitely proud of that.
Yeah, for sure. And then I also saw on Twitter, you're headed to UFC 229 this week with fellow Canadian James Lynch. So what's the plan for you and for Fight Week?
I want to say it's business as usual, but with us, it really isn't business as usual. We go there and try to find different angles than everybody else. There's obviously the scheduled things from the UFC, the media days, the open workouts, the, the press conference and the weigh-ins and all that. So we'll be at all that. But in addition, James in particular does an amazing job at this. He finds the fighters who are at Fight Week, but not competing on the card, teammates, coaches, things like that. Just fighters who are there as fans, and he'll interview them, wherever he can find time. And he does some cool stuff. Like he played video games with a few of them in the past. So, I love stuff like that, and I'm always going to champion content like that. So I'm going to let James do his thing. And then we also have a little, I was trying to decide. I don't want to say it. I don't want to blow my cover.
That's fair.
I don't want to blow my cover and have somebody else steal the idea, but we have one really fun idea planned for this one that you guys will see shortly.
That sounds good. So, I mean, as far as Fight Night's concerned, what do you keep yourself busy with on Fight Night?
Yeah, it's surprising, man, actually, because at my role at Flow Combat, I control all the social media, kind of all the marketing side of things is what I was originally hired to do. And that role has kind of evolved over the 2 years I've been with them for sure. But my focus still remains on social media and just blowing up our channels, blowing up the brand, making sure that our voice is heard in this sea of UFC 229 goodness, because everybody has an opinion on this fight, right? So now, while the numbers are probably going to be bigger, it also becomes more of a challenge. Hey, how can I create the best content on Fight Night to where, you know, now it's like a snowball effect. Not only are you going to get a ton of eyes, but if the content is great as it should be, then that just multiplies it. So my focus is going to be on the social media side of things, making sure things get posted to the site in a timely manner. You know, Lynch and I will be there. Damon Martin will actually also be there. He works for a couple of different sites, including us, so he'll be splitting content a bit, but I think we're going to get some stuff from him. So with us three on site and then the crew, you know, we got Nolan and Gumby Vreeland and the Top Turtle guys at home. They can work remotely. So between all of us, I really feel a strong schedule of content coming out this week.
Yeah, it should be great. We've also got Nolan joining us later on in this episode, going to be joining me later on today. So with UFC 229, you've got the return of Conor McGregor, but there's also plenty of former champions on this card as well as former title challengers. What's a fight on this card that you think is probably flying under the radar? And before you get into it, I bet you every other fight other than the main event is probably flying under the radar at this point.
Yeah, you kind of stole my answer there. because my answer is going to be Pettis versus Ferguson, which could easily be a Fight Night main event or even a weaker pay-per-view main event, honestly. And if Tony still has his belt, that's an obvious main event. So I feel like everybody is sleeping on that fight. I mean, that's a phenomenal matchup. Not only is Ferguson, I think he's 13-1 in the UFC, which people sleep on. I mean, that's a ridiculous record. His streak right now is crazy. And Pettis is coming back. Man, he looked good against Jim Miller, looked great against Michael Chiesa. So who knows? Is he back to his normal form? He can definitely pose problems for Ferguson. And we know Ferguson kind of starts slow and gets hit a lot. Pettis is not a guy you want to get hit a lot by. So that fight right there is crazy interesting to me, not just on a matchup level, but on an implications level for the title moving forward. Whoever wins that might get the next crack. So that's the one that's flying under the radar, but rightly so. You know, you can't be more hyped about that than Conor Khabib. I get it, but that's the other fight for me. And I know it's kind of a cop-out answer, the co-main event and everything, but that's the answer.
I mean, tying that into the entire main card, I know a lot of people on Twitter and on social media, they're actually not happy with the quality of fights because it's so hard to compare to that main event. And I mean, I'm being 100% serious. There's been some flack out there. So if you could give this main card a letter grade, kind of tough to put you on the spot, but what would you give it?
I mean, it gets an A+ to me. It's like you have a garage and the garage has a Ferrari and four Mustang GTs. It's still an A+ garage just because there's a Ferrari in it, in my mind. You know, that's all you need. Anything after that fight is just gravy to me. So I don't know how fans can expect any more than that. We got the fight that we've all wanted. This is the fight. I mean, if you pull 100 random fans and be like, you can create any fight in the UFC, who are you going to put together? At least 75 out of the 100 are going to put Khabib versus Conor. So, I mean, how can you possibly shit on this card with that at the top?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, and you mentioned the main, you mentioned the co-main. One of the other fights that I'm really interested in, because I wonder who's next for the winner in this. Top five heavyweights. You've got Volkov, you've got Lewis. Who do they fight? The winner. I mean, there's very limited, you know, room in that top 10 in the UFC's heavyweight division.
Yeah, that's a great point. The heavyweight division has felt like this for a long time, right, where it's any two big wins in a row could put you at a title shot in that division. So obviously the winner there is close. I think Volkov in particular is incredibly close after what he did to Verdum and everything. He could arguably be there right now. Derek Lewis to me is so crazy because I love Derek Lewis, obviously. You know, Flow Combat, Damon has a great relationship with him and has done literally some of my favorite interviews in Flow Combat history with Derek Lewis. So I love the guy, but I just cannot imagine him being a title contender. And yet, here he is. He's right there, man, and he has the power to get it done. He's dealt with some health issues in the past, and he claims he's over that now. So if we get full health, full focus Derek Lewis, and he can go out there and paste him, you got to think a title shot's next. Or at least, I think an interesting matchup for either of them is Stipe, depending on what Stipe's timetable is. Obviously, UFC doesn't usually match up fighters coming off a win with a fighter coming off a loss. But when it's a fighter like Stipe coming off a loss, I think an exception could possibly be made. So that's obviously a great measuring stick. You know, if that guy, if Volkov beats Lewis, or if Lewis beats Volkov and then beats Stipe, you cannot deny a title shot after that. And then Cain Velasquez, obviously, what's he doing? Is he recovered? Yeah. Is he healthy? Does he want to come back? He's the wild card in all this. I think nobody disagrees that when he's at his best, he is champion material. So we'll see where he slides in. But yeah, otherwise, it's either Stipe or Cain to me. If not, go straight to the title.
Yeah, I mean, that makes total sense to me. That's what I was thinking today was, you know, maybe Miocic slots in, fights the winner, and then you have a possible title contender there, a number one contender. You know, the Brock Lesnar stuff kind of takes away a little bit from it, but we'll have to see what happens. So you mentioned the co-main. As far as the main event goes, obviously that's what's on everybody's minds, on the tip of everyone's tongues. Who do you have in this main event?
I got Connor, man. I'm calling it. I'm believing. He got me convinced once again, as he always does. His confidence is out of control. It was really that interview with the Mac Life. I don't know if you saw that. Yeah. That 13-15 minute interview really convinced me that his head's in the right place, that he is legitimately focused on this. And Connor's a master of hype and marketing, so he could be fooling all of us and just dicking around in Las Vegas in his Lambos and really not caring at all. But I think this is vintage, full focus, full Mystic Mac, and Khabib gets hit, man, and you don't want to get hit by Connor. So I get it. It's the best matchup possible. It's the classic striker versus grappler. I will not be surprised at all if Khabib goes out and just mauls Connor immediately. That could very well happen, or Khabib could drag it out for five rounds and just smash him for five rounds. But if Connor lands that left, or even just avoids the takedown and controls the distance in a striking battle, you know, Connor's takedown defense has improved greatly, I feel like. You know, nobody has really bullied him. Eddie Alvarez arguably could have, but didn't even have a chance against him. So we don't really know how much Connor's improved in his time away. And the way he is, as meticulous and perfectionist as he is, I have a feeling he's improved a lot, and we're going to see it. So I'm betting on the Connor TKO round two, I think. I don't think it goes that long.
No, I mean, I get it there. I've got Khabib in the fight. It's amazing, though, you watch all these different documentaries, Anatomy of a Fighter, some of the embeds. It's crazy the team that Khabib surrounds himself with and the amount of guys that travel around all together.
It really is, man, and I've noticed the same thing. It's an incredible camaraderie they have, but also I think having that many bodies is just huge for him. You know, he has that consistency, camp in, camp out. He's always getting fresh work. His cardio is insane. I think he doesn't get enough credit for his cardio because his build isn't that wild. You know, he doesn't look crazy shredded, crazy ripped or anything, but he's so strong for so long and he never gets tired. I think that's what just breaks people. And Connor has shown a bit of a cardio issue in the past, I think. Obviously, boxing is a different story, but in the Floyd fight, he clearly gassed out hard. He gassed against Nate both times. So is that going to be an issue against Khabib grinding on him? It very, very well could be. And if he gasses, his power is going to go, and that's his chance of winning. So that could be a huge problem against Khabib. So obviously, like I said, people picking Khabib, I can't even argue it. I totally see it. I just believe in the left.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So I'm going to throw a wild card question at you before we leave. You've got UFC 230 coming up. What's the main event going to be for that?
Oh, that's an awesome question. I like that. I think it's going to be Diaz Poirier at 155, unfortunately. At least it'll be
five. Unfortunately?
Oh, because I want it for the 165-pound title. Yeah, that's what I want. I just don't see that happening. But that's my best-case scenario. Well, best case scenario would be John Jones versus Gus or Jones versus there's something involving John Jones. I'm a huge John Jones fanboy, so getting him back in there is best case scenario. But I think, you know, Diaz versus Poirier, 155. The good news in that is that it becomes a 5-round fight, which that fight has to be 5 rounds in my eyes. Has to be. Gets way more interesting that way. Like I said, 165 would be ideal, but I think it stays as is and just becomes a 5-round main event. Card's pretty strong. People are sleeping on that card too, top to bottom. There's a lot of – it's like a middleweight tournament going on there too, and I really like that. So Diaz Poirier, though, what I'm excited with that is we get to see how big of a draw Diaz is on his own without Connor on the other side, because everybody seems to think that Diaz is a huge star now, and I'm inclined to agree. Will we get to see exactly how huge? Will it be 500,000 buys? Just three? I mean, 300,000 buys in today's landscape is still a win. Is that it? Does it go above 500,000? I think that's interesting for me that the UFC can test Diaz's true star power on his own and know what they really have with him. So either way, I mean, that's fights don't get much better than that either. So I'm not exactly upset if that's what it was, you know, a non-title lightweight affair. But I would love to see a title on the line.
Yeah, and I think a lot of fans would too. I've been surprised, though, the reaction on Twitter and social media. People aren't too upset if it isn't a title fight. They can kind of see the quality of fights. You know, you talk about this card this weekend, UFC 229 being an A-plus card. I think 230's got to be an A. And I don't hand out A's and A-pluses very often, but I think it's really good. And especially, like you mentioned, all those different middleweight fights. Even if you lose one or even two, it's still a really good card. So looking forward to 229. You guys at Flow Combat, you're going to be, you know, boots on the ground covering it, and it should be great. Thanks so much, Hunter, for joining me. Where can people find you during fight week, and where can they find you online?
Awesome, man. I appreciate the time today. I just follow Flow Combat. Honestly, my accounts are like Flow Combat burner accounts. I just retweet everything from Flow Combat anyway, so you'll see me popping up. Just follow at Flow Combat everywhere, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. We're all over the place, and we're going to be posting stuff all over the place. Like I said, Lynch and Damon will be there. Nolan will be chipping in. Gumby and Top Turtle will be chipping in. So I'm really just stoked about everything we have coming.
Really glad to have had Hunter joining us on the show. It's almost like he's been on here before. We had a great time, and it kind of sucked that we talked about the UFC 230 main event before the news came out. But after the news came out, I had a chance to speak with Nolan King, also Flow Combat, Tapology. You can find him at multiple different outlets. He's always busy. He's always grinding, and he has those new fight announcements for us. So without further ado, let's get into the interview with Nolan King. Awesome, Nolan. Well, thanks so much for coming back on the show. You're the second Flow Combat member to be featured in the episode. So I'll ask you the same question that I asked Hunter. If you had to give this card, UFC 229 this weekend, a letter grade, what would you give it and why?
I'd give it an A-minus just because, well, first of all, it's a Conor McGregor fight. It's a big one. Khabib Nurmagomedov, I mean, that's a huge rivalry matchup. So we not only do we have the McGregor, we have a big rivalry fight as well. I mean, you know, the fight against Eddie Alvarez, I felt like they built a little bit of a rivalry, and it was a little bit significant because Conor was going for that second belt. But there was no really animosity, it didn't seem like, between the two of them. Sure, they were on ESPN a couple of times, and they had a back and forth, but it's not the same as if there's that buildup like there was with Jose Aldo, or the buildup like there was with Nate Diaz the second time. I feel like that's what we're getting here. So I have to give it an A minus because there's very few things, I think there's very few fights that you could make in the sport at this moment that would have such a big feel that it would extend past, you know, outside of our MMA bubble. So, you know, there's always the fights that you can think about and try to speculate on which one would do better, but I'll give it an A minus, just some room for improvement. But you know, the rest of the card's pretty solid, too. I think that the main card especially is strong, the prelims. There's been times where we've had a McGregor card that has stronger prelims, in my opinion. But I think the main card is about as solid as we're going to get, you know, with the situation that's going on at the end of the year. It seems like a lot of, you know, there's only so many big names that are available at this point in the year. So I'm overall happy with it. I honestly don't think there's many things I could complain about on my end.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's pretty good. Hunter giving it an A+. I mean, I don't tend to give out A's or A+.
Right,
but
exactly. That's what you got to realize with me. I'm like, it's hard to get a good grade. Like,
exactly.
I'm the asshole, yeah.
But this is one of those fights that, you know, like you said, it's going to extend past the average fan that you see on Twitter all the time. This is going to be one of those things that, I mean, I know MMA on Reddit, the subreddit RMMA, they were really trying to gear everybody up for this. Like, hey, watch what you're posting. That's how big this is. You're going to get so many extra clicks and so many extra people interested in this. So I think from that standpoint, you have to give it an A+. We've seen the decision that's been made for UFC 230, and we'll get into it a little bit later. But that's one of those boneheaded moves here. You've got a pretty good card. The main card's good. And you mentioned Eddie Alvarez. You're kind of like the Eddie Alvarez of my guests. You're the underground king, so to speak,
I guess.
So,
I like it.
You've got the knowledge and the experience covering some, you know, some of the different organizations, of course, with Tapology, looking at some of those up-and-coming prospects and fighters. So if you had to choose one of the fights that's on this UFC 229 card that's flying under the radar so far, which one would you choose?
Well, I mean, to be honest with you, I don't even think I would go as far as to, you know, to take it to the level of like, oh, you know, there's an up-and-coming prospect. Sure, there's some fighters on this card that are up-and-coming prospects, but the fight that's super under the radar, in my opinion, is Sergio Pettis versus Jussie Formiga. I mean, that's an arguable, you know, arguably a number one contender fight in the flyweight division. And both those guys are super, super legit. I mean, if it wasn't the flyweight division, I'd assume that they'd end up on the main card. I think that's a phenomenal FS1 headliner. I know Sean O'Malley falling off is a blow to the card. He's somebody that the UFC could have, you know, had piggyback off of Conor McGregor, off of all the eyes. I'm sure he would have gotten a lot of fans from this performance as the FS1 headliner. But Sergio Pettis versus Jussie Formiga is an extremely legitimate fight. And I think, you know, I haven't really heard many people talk about it compared, you know, even if you take McGregor and Khabib out of the conversation. I mean, we've heard people talk about Tony Ferguson, Pettis a little bit, Lewis and Reyes a little bit. I'm sorry, Lewis and Volkov a little bit, OSP and Reyes a little bit. Haven't heard really, you know, peeps about Pettis versus Formiga. So I'm super, super stoked for that fight.
Another one of the fights that I haven't heard anybody talk about. I mean, there's one, Aspen Ladd, Tony Evinger. I mean, Tony Evinger was supposed to be the co-main for the Sao Paulo card, and they took her off of that. And then you also have Landsberg taking on Kuniskaya. I mean, they both fought Cyborg in the past. Nobody's talking about that fight whatsoever. So the one that I'm going to give you as a pick that, you know, nobody's really focused on, and I'm kind of disappointed with the matchmaking, Vicente Luque taking on Jalen Turner. UFC debut, it kind of reminds me, and we talked about this the last time you were on the show, you and I talked about Kevin Holland and Thiago Santos, how strange of a matchup that was. Kind of that same level. I mean, Turner's had, you know, first round finishes and whatnot, but does it warrant, you know, his first fight in the UFC taking on a guy that could arguably slot into the top 15?
Yeah, I don't like this matchup at all, and I'll tell you why for a number of reasons. I thought the reason Jalen Turner wasn't selected on Contender Series, you know, in my opinion, was that he looked like there was a lot of talent there, a lot of talent, but he might need a couple more fights on the regional scene to really booster him up to be able to, you know, be a prospect that surges when he gets into the UFC. And for them not to sign him off the show and then sign him now, I get it. They've done that with a number of guys, but it's just, I mean, he's moving up a weight class to 170 pounds where I don't think he's ever fought before. I might be wrong on that one, but he's tall enough. I mean, I just don't see it. Luque is so good too. It's not like they're just, you know, having him fight somebody that's 1-0 or, you know, 1-1 at 170 pounds. They're having him fight a guy that's had a tremendous amount of success there and has beaten a lot of tough guys. And I mean, Luque is, if you look at his last seven fights, his only loss is to Leon Edwards, and he's beaten, you know, he's not fighting these guys that, you know, by the time we look at them, they're gone. Like, he's fighting Chad Laprise, he's fighting Nico Price, Bilal Muhammad. You know, these are good names. So I don't necessarily get it. I mean, it'll be interesting. I give my hat tip to Turner. I mean, he's in the UFC, good for him, but I don't necessarily understand why this fight came to fruition.
Yeah, I mean, anybody that's been listening to the podcast, the YouTube show, whatever, there's three or four different UFC welterweights that I talk about a lot. Luque is one of them, Worley Alves until James Krause. You know, there's quite a few guys that are just on the cusp of getting into the top 15, depending on, you know, how much stock you put into rankings. I think Vicente Luque is one of those guys that you never know. He could go on a run. So it's a tough one for me with Turner. And another one that you had kind of mentioned that it hasn't really been getting enough of the spotlight, I think, is the OSP Dominic Reyes fight on the main card. I mean, that's a really, really interesting 205 fight. And for Dominic Reyes, I mean, who knows? He could be one of those next guys that just kind of jumps right up into the top five.
Yeah, absolutely. I might be a little bit biased on that one just because I spent most of my Sunday morning writing, you know, an interview with Reyes, so maybe it's in my head a lot, but I think that's a great fight. I think, you know, we need 205-pound prospects, and Reyes is almost past the point of being a prospect just with how good he is. I mean, he's already a legitimate top 10 fighter, top 15 fighter, so let's see if he can be a top 7, top 6 guy. I mean, he's had, I think he's 9-0, he's had 8 first round finishes with 1 decision victory in there, 3-0 in the UFC in the last 14 months with 3 first round finishes. This is a big opportunity for him. Ovince St. Preux is the gatekeeper in terms of the elite of the division with, you know, even if you lose to OSP, there's a chance that you're still a solid fighter. So he's a tough, crafty vet, OSP. He's a guy that can survive. I mean, we saw that in his last fight against Tyson Pedro. You know, he knows how to push through and battle adversity to be able to pick up victories. So definitely the experience factor could come into play here, but Reyes is a prospect that he's really the only young guy that's in a stone's throw of Daniel Cormier or John Jones or whoever you know, is going to be at the top when Reyes hits, you know, reaches that point. So it's going to be good, man. I'm excited for him, and I'm excited, you know, it'll be a big win for OSP as well if he can pick up a victory.
Yeah, I mean, you had mentioned it too. Like, he's one of those kind of younger guys in a traditionally, you know, older division. I remember it was quite a while ago. This was probably like 2 or 3 months ago, and I took the average age out of the top 15 light heavyweight. It was above 32 years old, so quite old there. And even, you know, in talking with Volkan Oezdemir, talking with Anthony Smith, those two guys are not totally young either. So Reyes has that kind of X factor there.
With Reyes, I mean, he's so young in this relative to the sport too. Like,
yeah,
Anthony, this is his second UFC stint. It's his second weight division. Oezdemir had a solid regional stint, you know, outside with Titan and everything and overseas. So, you know, this is, I think we haven't seen somebody quite in the same scenario as Reyes, you know, in at least a little while.
Yeah. And I mean, you had mentioned it too. Like, I don't know if I sent you a copy of my notes or if you got them, but you pretty much went through every point I had. The only thing is, yeah, OSP with that experience, and he's so sneaky and versatile. Even when he gets rocked or hurt, he knows what to do to clinch up or to take it to the ground. Like, he's a really smart fighter in that regard. So we covered a couple of the fights on the undercard that we're both interested in. The main card looks really good. I'm doing the two-minute breakdowns every day, so today's going to be Volkov and Lewis. But as far as the main event, everybody's dying to know. I mean, who do you have in this and why?
I mean, this is there. I think there's always a certain element that comes into Conor McGregor fights where there's so much extracurricular going on. There's so many, you know, intangible little things that everybody nitpicks, and just honestly having the conversation and hearing so many different opinions oftentimes make me kind of confuse what I think.
Yep.
So this one has been, in my opinion, with all that being said, I think this one is the toughest one of them all, just because, you know, I was talking to another journalist the other day on a podcast, and I was saying that, you know, I think that this is almost like an old school UFC matchup where you have two guys that are so good in different aspects of the game and have, you know, red flags in other ones, even though they're at the elite of the elite. I mean, Khabib's striking defense worries me quite a bit. I think he's a little reckless at times. I think, you know, even as dominant as the Michael Johnson fight was, there were a couple times in that fight where Johnson really did crack Khabib, one in particular that I thought had Khabib on his back foot a little bit. So that bothers me. And then obviously McGregor's ground game, I mean, I don't, it could not be as bad as some people make it out to be, but at the same time, I think that's when we've seen him hit the ground with wrestlers. I mean, he didn't do particularly well against Mendez on the ground. You know, Nate Diaz, I there was a couple exchanges where the fight hit the ground and stuff, and obviously the one where he got choked out. So for me, it really comes down to, you know, it could come down to the opening exchange for all I know. And for me, I just have a gut feeling. I'm going to lean with Conor McGregor on this one. I've switched up my picks a couple times since this fight was announced, but I feel pretty confident, relatively. I guess it's really a toss-up, so I can't feel that confident. But I'm going to say that, you know, I'll put it on the record that I'm going to pick Conor McGregor in this fight.
It's so hard, and every time I talk to somebody and, you know, they kind of give their perspective, mine kind of shifts a little bit too. I mean, I was, you know, Team Khabib the whole way. The striking might not be great. Maybe the striking defense isn't great. And it was kind of weird where he kind of left his chin out there a little bit against Ally Quinta, a guy who has kind of that knockout power in the lightweight division. But, you know, the team that's around Khabib, that are always there, all those guys, the cardio, the drilling. I mean, he's constantly practicing, going out there. And with Conor, yeah, you have that little bit, you know, the extracurricular that you have to kind of worry about. And a lot of people kind of gave me some flack. Now, this is probably a few months ago, when I talked about Conor and the amount of talent that's involved with SBG, and I understand their franchises, but at the same time, the amount of guys that fight, you know, with that camp, and they're under 155 pounds, he has so many different training partners at his disposal. And where his name's so big, it'd be pretty easy to pick a guy from Dublin or a guy from another spot in Ireland to come and train with him. And of course, one of those guys that they've gained has been Dylan Danis, a guy who's probably going to work that ground game, work the submission attempts. But yeah, I'm giving the edge to Khabib right now just due to the inactivity from McGregor. It's kind of tough to tell what we're going to see, but I think he's definitely worked his takedown defense for sure. But at the same time, I mean, I've got Khabib in this. But like you said, I mean, flip a coin, pick a winner. That's kind of what it's going to be like.
Yeah, absolutely, man. And in this sport, you know, I've come to realize from making all these predictions, and, you know, we've seen our fair share of rematches and stuff, like, it can really come down to chance sometimes. I mean, you could, who's to say, whatever happens on Saturday, if they were to match up Khabib and Conor 10 times, you know, it could be 5-5 and we'd never know, you know what I'm saying? So there's certain matchups that just I don't know. You know, if I get it right, then I look like I'm smart. And if I get it wrong, then I look like I'm so.
It's like when I picked the fight of the night for UFC Hamburg, and I said it was going to be Danny Roberts and Fabinski. Yeah, and I got that one right. I mean, what are the odds right there? You flip a coin, whatever. Yeah. But big news coming out today. We're speaking on Tuesday, October 2nd. This is going to come out on Wednesday. That there's a new main event in store for UFC 230. Does it make sense to you?
No. It doesn't make sense in the main event status. I think, like, this is a totally fine fight. I actually, in terms of the division, I actually, in terms of, I'm not going to say it's a better fight than the Joanna-Valentina fight. Like, obviously, that's a huge fight. But I think for right now, if you had taken that out of the equation, if that fight had never been announced, I would have probably gone this route with Valentina and Shajara. I think it would have given Joanna one more fight, kind of a little bit of a build-up. Valentina would have had the belt. Like, there was enough where you could have promoted Valentina fighting anyone at this point for a belt, and then build up the Joanna fight. They decided to go with the Joanna fight, which I was cool with. I can't, like, complain.
Yeah.
Either matchup's cool. So I'm not totally, like, I guess if we didn't have the Joanna fight already, I would be totally fine with this. I'm not totally fine with the placement on the card. I think the fact that it's a main event, like, it's almost to the point where, you know, you should have just kept what you had, you know, like Diaz and Poirier. If you made that the main event for five rounds, don't even have to put in a belt. Weight class.
One of those two fighters put out a picture, and it almost looked like a UFC headline, and it showed Weidman Rockhold, and it showed Diaz Poirier, and I thought, you know what? That looks pretty good. That makes a lot of sense to have at the top of your pay-per-view. Real fans are going to buy that, and now sure. I said it on Twitter, how are you going to be able to quantify how many more buys you're going to get out of Shevchenko and Eubanks versus just Diaz and Poirier? It's such a head-scratcher.
Yeah, and I mean, for me, like, I don't understand necessarily why they don't, like, even if this fight, say they wanted to add this fight to the card, why does it make any sense to put it as the main event? Like, co-main event, you still have Diaz Poirier slapped on the poster. You have, you know, five my rounds. Friends. Right. Five rounds. My friends who don't really watch MMA, who, you know, casual, super casuals, you know, McGregor, they would watch that fight, you know, where now it's going to be a co-headliner. Who knows? Who's to say how much promotion it's going to get, and compared to if it was a headliner? I think it's I was sitting earlier thinking about this when it first got announced. I mean, I think this is the second biggest fight that's on an MMA schedule right now. Period. You don't need to put something over this. I mean, even if you didn't add anything and you just made it the main event, I think you would have been fine. Especially, I mean, like you said, there's other good fights on there. You got Rockhold, Weidman, you got Brunson and Adesanya, you got Jacare and Branch. Like, it's not like there's one of these cards that's, like, demolished with injuries or demolished just in, you know, never really got the big fights that it needed. Like, I don't know, man. It's just so frustrating. I don't even know. Like, I don't know whose decision, who was this brought to and they signed off on it. Like, I don't understand it at all. You know,
doesn't make much sense to me. And I mean, I'm going to leave you upset. Nolan, thanks so much again for coming on the show, man. I got you all riled up. Good luck with the rest of the week leading into fight week. Obviously Saturday's card. You've also got KSW early on Saturday. Where can people find your work, and where can they find you on social media this week?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm on Twitter as always at MMA_Kings. Now on Instagram, something I'm trying to build up a little bit. My skills aren't as good as maybe the other social media, but trying to build up a following there. So you can follow me at Nolan King MMA. You can follow my work on Flow Combat, Tapology, MMA Today. Got some interviews coming out. I'll be covering the two Bellator back-to-back cards that are happening later this month in a couple weeks with Bader versus
Mitrione
and Fedor versus Sonnen. So check out that, and that's pretty much what I got on my plate for now. But thanks for having me again, Craig. I appreciate it.
Really appreciate Nolan coming back on the show. We always have a lot of fun analyzing, predicting the fight cards, and it was a lot of fun having him on, especially with this UFC 229 event coming up on Saturday from Las Vegas. And like we said, I mean, Hunter Homestek, he's going to be covering it for Flow Combat in Vegas. You've also got James Lynch, Damon Martin, Nolan manning the desk at home. Make sure you check out their content this weekend as well. This weekend, I'm going to be in Nashville, so Hopefully, once I get off the plane, I have a chance to catch KSW 45. Don't forget about that. If you look back through previous episodes, I get to interview the heavyweight champion, former UFC vet Phil DeFries, talking about his upcoming fight against Carol Baydorf. It's going to be a great one. The card looks great. It looks phenomenal. There's a reason why KSW is one of the top MMA companies in the world. So make sure you check that out before UFC 229 coming up on Saturday night. So for Fight Night Picks, I'm Craig Allen, FNP. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram. And don't forget to check in periodically. Every single day this week, I'm releasing 2-minute breakdown videos for every fight on the main card. Look for another one to be coming out today, and you can also catch some of the older ones from Monday and Tuesday here on the YouTube channel. So we'll see you again next week.